But as I focus on Romans 9, there's a shift in Paul's attitude. There's a shift and a mood swing that he feels that makes him change where he's been going through. What causes Paul's attitude to change? How does he go from a place of jubilation and blessings that come from faith in Jesus and that comes from the extreme love that God has for us to a place of despair and anguish? And that's where we're going to find out in Romans chapter 9. Let's go to Romans chapter 9. Let's change the slide. Romans chapter 9. Verses 1 through 3. Paul's heart for his people, the Jews. I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it through the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my people, those of my own race. As I said earlier, Romans 8, Paul shared about his passion and how blessed we are in Christ Jesus. Then we see in Romans 9, verse 2, Paul shares about the great sorrow and unceasing anguish in his heart. What caused Paul to feel this way? Well, most of his people have rejected Jesus. Most of his people have rejected him. The Messiah had finally come, and most of the Jews have not acknowledged Jesus as their Messiah. And this hurt. It hurt Paul. It saddened him. It hurt him deeply. My first point, next slide. How does your heart respond to a lost world? How does your heart respond to a lost world? What about us? Does your heart hurt for a lost world? Does your heart hurt for people that are lost? We live in a lost world, a world where the destructive nature of sin can be clearly seen and experienced, a world where human beings do evil and unspeakable things to other human beings. We live in a world, next slide, a world where people love darkness instead of the light, a world where people are under control of the evil one. A world that is corrupt due to the evil desires of man. Just watch the news. Next slide. Just watch the news. If you watch the news for one day, you can see how lost the world is. Ben mentioned it. It's just so much things going on in this world that is just crazy. Well, there's war. There's people suffering, injustice. You know, Paul had this anguish in his heart. And I remember not too couple of weeks ago, I had felt a great anguish and sorrow in my heart as well. A couple of weeks ago, I watched a video that brought me great sorrow and anguish. A black woman was shot and killed by a white sheriff deputy in Illinois. Her name was Sonya Massey. I remember watching the video and feeling shocked and angry and sad. And these questions came to mind, like, why is this happening? Why do these things keep happening in this world? And it's because we live in a lost world. A world controlled by the evil one. A world corrupted by the evil desires of man. So what can we do as Christians? Let's look at Paul and his example. Here is a man that felt great sorrow for his people, the Jews. A people that, because of his love for Jesus, they abused him. They mistreated him. They enacted violence on him, and they tried to kill him. And 2 Corinthians, next slide, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 22 to 25. And Paul shares about some of these sufferings that he experienced. Are they servants of Christ? I am a better one. I am talking like a madman with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods, and once I was stoned. Paul suffered a lot from the Jews. Next slide. The Jews wanted to kill Paul. Acts 9, verse 23, after many days had gone by, there was a conspiracy among the Jews to kill him. Acts chapter 3, verse 12, the next morning, some Jews formed a conspiracy and bound themselves with an oath not to eat or drink until they had killed Paul. More than 40 men were involved in this plot. After all this that Paul suffered from his people, they mistreated him. They abused him. They beat him. They wanted to kill him. They flogged him. Imagine how his back looked after being flogged 5 times. 40 lashes minus one. Yet, when you look at the passage in Romans, his heart still went out for his people. He still wanted them saved. We like to say God loves the sinner, but hates the sin. Do we apply this to the deputy that killed Sonya Massey? When I see another person hurt another person like that, my own past experiences and trauma kicks in. I start thinking about the violence that I experienced growing up in Brooklyn, growing up in the inner city. I've seen gang violence. I've seen black-on-black crime. I've seen blacks against Puerto Ricans, blacks against Dominicans, blacks against blacks, for whatever reason. And yes, there is social injustice. Yes, there is systematic racism. Yes, there is white privilege, and the rich take advantage of the poor. There is so much violence and so much injustice in this world. But I have been a victim of social injustice personally. I have personally been a victim of police brutality. I have experienced abuse from black people, from white people, from Puerto Rican people, from rich people, and from poor people. Abuse and violence, yes, can come from social injustice, but it could come from your own home. It could come from your own neighborhood, your own block, the place where you live. Abuse and violence is everywhere. It could come from people that look different from you, and it could come from people that look just like you. It could come from people you don't know, and it could come from people you do know. The common denominator in all this, whether it's from social injustice or from your own neighborhood, the common denominator is the destructive nature of sin in people's lives. These are all consequences of living in a world controlled by the evil one. Do we see the real enemy here? Do we see that bad things like this happen because of sin, because of Satan, and because of people don't have a relationship with Jesus? What are you focusing on? In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, turn there, please. Ephesians 6 verse 12, it says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the power of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Who is the real enemy? I could have easily not forgiven or retaliated or abused other people because of the abuse I experienced. And in some cases, before my Christian years, I have. But as I become a Christian and I read the Bible and I see the destructive nature of sin, I see the consequences of people not having a relationship with God. I see that Satan is in control of the evil of the world. Sin. 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 And I ask myself, so what can we do? What can we do as a church? What can we do as individuals? Next slide, please. In Matthew 5, verse 13 to 16, it says, you are the salt of the earth. But if a salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it under a stand and give lights to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. What can we do? We could be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Salt makes things better. How can we make the world better? How? We give them Jesus. We live by the truth. We live by example. How can we be the light of the world? Next slide. What does light do? Light exposes things. As disciples, let's expose the evil in the world. Let's speak up for injustice. Let's speak up for inequality. Expose the destructive nature of sin in people's lives. We can speak up. We can volunteer. We could do a lot to change this world. Next slide. Another thing we could do is pray, right? No matter where you at, or what your experiences are, no matter where you at, you can always pray. And it says, and pray in the spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. We got to pray for our leaders. We got to pray for our country. We got to pray for Sonia Massey and her family. We got to pray for God to intervene in these particular situations. We got to pray for justice. There's certain things only God can do. But you can be a disciple. Where's your heart today for the lost people of this world? Is it hurting for these lost people? Do you see the real enemy behind it? What is your course of action? What can we do about the destructive nature of sin in people's lives? Devote yourself to Jesus. Be like Jesus. be the light to the world, expose evil, expose injustice, expose the destructive nature of sin in people's lives. Be that light and guide them to Jesus. We can have an impact. Jesus spoke up. Jesus had courage. He knew the world was evil, but he focused on the real enemy, sin. Be right with God. Use what God has given you to have an impact. Don't cover your light. Don't keep your mouth shut. Whatever you see in the church, outside the church, speak up. Say something. If we don't say anything, how are things going to change? There are people that we are close to us that are dying in sin. And we haven't spoken up. We can have an impact more than you can imagine. Do something radical this week. Speak to that person that God has been prompting your heart to speak to. Speak to them. Family member, co-worker, friend, enemy. Pray for them. God didn't give us this light to cover it with a bowl and not let it shine. He gave us the light so we could let it to guide people and expose things. And let come, let whatever comes with that, let it come. But please do something. Amen. Second point. Who are the true children of God? Who? In Romans chapter 9, next slide. Romans chapter 9, verse 4. It says, the people of Israel, theirs is the adoption to sonship. There is the divine glory, the covenants, the receiving of the law, the temple worship, and the promises. Theirs are the patriarchs, and from them is the trace, human ancestry of the Messiah, who is God over all, forever praised. Amen. Next slide. These were God's chosen people on earth. God gave them the promises, the covenants, the law, all of the worship, the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And from the Jews came the human ancestry of the Christ. So what happened to the Jews? They've been given all these things and all these blessings, yet they didn't even acknowledge the Messiah. They sinned against God. They rebelled against God. So what happened to them? Why have they not accepted Jesus? Why have the Jews gone through so much throughout the Bible? Why? Next slide. Next slide. Did God's word fail? Let's read. It's not as though God's words fail, for not all who are descendants of Israel are Israel. Nor because they are his descendants, nor because they are his descendants are they all Abraham's children. On the contrary, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. In other words, it is not the children by physical descent who are children, who are God's children, but it's the children of the promise who are regarded as Abraham's offspring. For this is how the promise was stated. At the appointed time, I will return and Sarah will have a child. How is it that the Jews were God's people on earth and didn't acknowledge the Messiah? How is it that the Gentiles are now a blessed people through faith and not the Jews who were originally given them the promises? Did God's word fail? No. God's word did not fail. God's word is flawless. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 31. As for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless, and he shields all who take refuge in him. Paul says that the reason that not all who this, Paul says that not all who are descended from Israel are Israel. Just because the Jews believe, just because they were born a physical descendant of Abraham, that made them God's people. And Paul says, no, no, no. Not all Israel are Israel. What does it mean to be God's people? It means that you are governed by God. It means that Jesus is Lord of your life. It means you are a baptized disciple of Jesus. So it's not about being born into a Christian household. As we all know, we know these things. You don't become a Christian just because you're born into a Christian household. You don't become a Christian just because your parents are Christians. That's not what makes you God's people. Next slide. Going to church every Sunday does not make you God's people. Having a Bible in your house or in your bag does not make you God's people. It's a spiritual thing. Are you a child of the promise? Abraham, God promised Abraham, listen, I'm going to make you, I'm going to give you children. Look at the stars of the sky. Look at this, the sand on the seashore. That's how y'all, how many of your offspring will be. And Abraham was 99 years old, said, what? What? And Sarah, she had already passed the stage of childbirth. And God said, by this time next year, Sarah will have a child. And the Bible says Abraham believed. And the next year, Isaac was born. It was a supernatural birth. She wasn't supposed to be having kids at that time. It was supernatural. Based on the promise that God made, according to faith, according to the promise. Next slide. Isn't it the same for us today? Being born again through baptism is a supernatural act of God. We cannot save ourselves. It's only by the grace and mercy of God through Jesus that we become disciples of Jesus, that we become the children of God. Supernatural. You are all, if you are a baptized disciple of Jesus, supernatural. You are a miracle. Do you believe you're a miracle? Do you see yourself as a miracle of God? Supernatural. That's what you are. And if you're not, we can help you. Next slide. Amen? It's quiet in here. Next point. God is sovereign, and he has a plan. Do you trust it? God is sovereign. He has a plan. Do you trust it? I'm gonna be honest. I've been around for almost 24 years now, I think, right? Yes, 24, as a disciple of Jesus. And I've read the Bible through and through. And there's some things that you read in the Bible that can be disturbing. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, what is that? Like, God, why would you do that? What were you thinking, God? And you, it's just certain things that you read that you just don't understand. You can't, it's just not going to resonate in your heart and mind. And what do you do about those things? It's things that God does in the Bible that you don't agree with and that you are not going to understand. And you might not understand for a while. So what do you do with that? The passage we are about to read is one of those passages. I couldn't even get through all it. Like, we to do a sermon on Romans chapter 9 and 10 is crazy. There's no way we could go through everything that Romans 9 and 10 says in one sermon. It's impossible. It's just so rich and dense, and you need a study for the study for the study. So I'm going to do my best for it to make sense. I'm not going to talk about everything. There's some things that you're going to read in there that you will have to go back and read for yourself and develop your own convictions. So I'm letting you know that right now. Disclaimer. So again, there are things you're not going to understand. There are things you're not going to agree with. Next slide, please. So what do you do with that? So in Romans chapter 9, just to give you a quick summary, Paul is explaining further what it means to be a child of God, what it means to be chosen by God. Being chosen by God is not based on anything we do, for there's nothing we can do to earn God's love. But we are chosen and become children of God based on his mercy, his grace, and by his own efforts. Romans chapter 9, verse 10. Next passage. Next slide. It says, not only that, but Rebecca's children were conceived at the same time by our father Isaac. Yet before the twins were born or had done anything good or bad, in order that God's promise and God's purpose and election might stand, not by works, but by him who calls, she was told the older will serve the younger, just as it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. Strong language here. Paul refers to the birth of the twins, Jacob and Esau. Next slide. And before any of them had done anything good or bad, God chose Jacob over Esau to be the father of his chosen people on earth. God did this so that his purpose might stand. And like I said before, when you read scriptures, you have to be careful. You have to be careful not to have a shallow understanding of things you don't understand. Next slide. To have a deeper understanding of certain scriptures, you have to get the context of the scripture. What was going on in that time, in that area? What was the culture like? Who was the audience? What was the language that was spoken and how were things translated? And then you have Eastern eyes versus Western perspectives. And so you got to take all that into account, especially when you read a passage like Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. So for me, when I read things like that, I have to think about who God is. Next slide. Who God is. There are things in the Bible that are hard to accept. But then you got to go back. Who is God? Next slide. Who is God? In these instances, you have to trust the attributes and the nature of God. How can you trust somebody you don't know? How? I have severe trust issues. Severe. With people I know I have trust issues. I've just gone through so much trust trauma growing up where people I've trusted have hurt me. And if I don't know you, it's going to be hard for me to trust you. It's the same with God. If you have a shallow relationship with God, you are not going to trust him. You're not. If you don't know God, you are not going to trust him. And you got to work hard to dig deep to maintain that trust in God. You got to maintain it. Because guess what? You can lose it. You get shallow with your relationship with God, you can lose your trust in God. Next slide. So for me, here are some attributes that I rely on that help me rely on the nature and attributes of God that help me trust in him. Deuteronomy 32 verse 4 says, he is the rock. His works are perfect and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong. Upright and just is he. Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. Deuteronomy 32 verse 4. Isaiah 55 verse 18, one of my favorites, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. You are not going to understand why God does certain things. You're not. Well, why, God? Why? Why are you asking why? Why? Because you don't trust them. Why are you asking why? So you could give your stamp of approval? Well, God, I don't like how you did that. Why are you asking why? So you can feel good about it? Next slide. Understand God. 2 Peter 3, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish. But everyone to come to repentance. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. This is going to please God, our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Next slide. Psalms 145, verse 17. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. 1 John 4, verse 16. And we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Isaiah 46, verse 10. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say my purpose will stand and I will do all that I please. So when I see a passage that says, Jacob I love, Esau I hate it. Before they did anything good or bad, God chose them. Do I have to understand that? No. Why? Because that's who God is. He is a loving God. He don't want anyone to be saved. He has his own purpose and plan for everyone. It's a reason why he does certain things. God doesn't make decisions just, oh, let me wake up and throw some dice and just figure out what happens with this person's life. Every decision he makes is according to a plan and a purpose. And if you want to be a disciple of Jesus or stay a disciple of Jesus, you have to make a decision. Am I going to trust who God is or am I not? Do I have to understand every single reason why he does what he do? Or am I going to trust him, put my faith in him? But we want to control everything. Control, control, control. And we all have our trauma and reasons for doing the things and feeling the way we feel. And it's valid. It's valid. But you become a new creation that trusts in the living God. And when you come across scriptures that you don't understand, do your due diligence. Do not rely on what I say, what any preacher says, what any person says. Do your own study. Develop your own convictions. Know who God is. That's your responsibility. You can't go in front of God on judgment day. Well, Steve said this. I'm like, all right. See where that gets you. God gonna say, did you respond to my son? Is your faith based on Steve's faith? Is your faith based on Richard's faith? Is your based on your friend's faith? Is your faith based on your parents' faith? Who is it based on? Who is it based on? God is sovereign. Next slide. He has a plan. Esau, so I had to do some more study. I'm like, yo, this sounds crazy to me. And there's so much more that's there that I couldn't even touch because we don't have the time. There's like four sermons in this one passage. It's impossible. Esau, I hate it. It's God's way of comparing how he dealt with the Edomites. Esau, I hate it. Jacob, I love. Esau, I hate it. Comes from Malachi. Comes from the Old Testament, prophet Malachi. In that, God referred to Jacob and Esau as a people that he had dealt with over that time. You guys got to study it out. But Esau was God saying Esau, I hate it, was God's way of comparing how he dealt with the Edomites' defiance, their sin, and their mistreatment of God's people compared to how he dealt with the Israelites. You got to study it out. Next slide. There is a difference with how God deals with the sin of his people compared to the sin of those who are not his people. There's a difference. Isn't that true for you? Next slide. Christians and non-Christians are both sinners. Guess what? You're not better than anybody because you're a Christian. You're not better. You are a sinner. Sin, sin, sin. I will be lying and say I didn't love certain sins. I love certain sins. I got to fight against my nature to not do certain sins because I enjoy them. My pride. My arrogance. I feel comfortable. God deals with our sin differently than he would deal with the sin of someone who's not a Christian. Isn't that the same thing? Next slide. God's grace and mercy towards his people. Psalms 103, verse 10, he said, he does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our inequities. That is the blessing we have in Jesus. You're a sinner. She's a sinner. The world's are sinners. But when you become a baptized disciple of Jesus, there's certain promises that come with that. There's certain spiritual benefits you gain. Rick talked about it the other day. Is what happened with Bronny James? With like all spiritual Bronny James? Bronny James didn't make it to the NBA because of his skill, which certain people believe. He made it because his father was one of the greatest of all time. We don't make it to heaven because of anything we do. Because God doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. Romans 5, verse 9 and 10, and since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved through God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through death of his son, how much more, having been with God, being with God, being reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? God already sent Jesus to die for you at your worst. How much more now that you're trying to do the right thing? That you're trying to follow the Bible? That you're trying not to respond to that rude person on the road? That you're trying not to respond bad to disrespectful people? That you're trying not to respond with evil for evil and sin for sin? That you're really trying to forgive? How much more is he going to work with you? He already loved you at your worst. There's nothing you can do to earn salvation. Nothing. You got to rely on the mercy of God. Next slide. Romans 10, verse 13. What shall we say? Is God unjust? When people read that passage, Jacob I love, Esau I hated, before they was good and bad. Whoa, God, how can you say, what? God, that's not right. Is God unjust? Not at all. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. You can't dictate who God is going to forgive. You can't dictate and see, oh, that God, you know what? That person deserves Jesus, but that person do not deserve Jesus. God, that sheriff deputy shot that woman in her face. He does not deserve forgiveness. Who are you? I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. You are not God. Thank the Lord. What's the point Paul is saying here? This is the point. God chose you to be with him. And it's nothing you did to deserve it. It was because of his purpose and plan. Do you have to understand the plan? Do you have to understand why he does what he does? No, you do not. You know, studying this out, and I can't add everything. Y'all need, if you go back and read the book of Job,
And Job was blameless and spotless, and he had all these blessings, and then Satan came in and said, God, did Job follow you for no reason? You put all the protection around Job, the Job's, you know what I mean? I said, God, well, test Job. Satan took everything. And they came back. Job was still righteous. And then God, Satan came back. Well, it's because you haven't made him sick yet. Let's make him sick and watch, he's going to curse you. Job got sick and Job worshiped. But at some point, if you read that Bible, Job started struggling. He started expressing his hurt and anger, because guess what? He was blameless. He was one of the most righteous people of that time. And he laid out the list of the things he was doing. And his friends was like, yo, man, you had to do something you had to do. May God do this. Something you had to do. And Job was like, it's not. I didn't do anything. And I would die by that. And then another friend came and was like, you guys are wrong. You've been focusing on what Job did instead of the majesty of God. Focus on God and who he is. And then Job made his final complaint. And then God came down out of a storm. Who is this that judges my justice? Who is this that claims me of doing wrongdoing? Were you there when I made the earth? Were you there when I was at the deep? Were you there? Were you there? Were you there? You got to stay it out. I can't. It just was, God was so gangster. Yo, Joe was like this. I opened my mouth once. I opened my mouth twice. What was I thinking? We serve a mighty God. Y'all have no clue the things he knows, the things he does, the things he has blessed you with, the things he protect you from, you have no clue. There's a purpose. He has a plan and a purpose. Do you trust it? Do you trust it? And if you don't, this is not the place for you. Now, is it okay to wrestle with your trust and faith in God? Yes. Wrestle. You have to. Jacob wrestled God. Jacob wrestled. Him and God was going at it. And Jacob said, no, I'm going to keep holding on until you bless me. And then God had to point what he did, the socket. And it changed Jacob. When you wrestle with God, you're going to come away changed. Please wrestle with God. I beg you. It's a good thing. It's a good thing to wrestle with God. He don't want robots. He wants people to have strong convictions, that love him because of who he is, that trust him because of who he is. That's who he is. That's what he wants. Next slide. We serve a just God. He is righteous in all his ways. He will have mercy on whom he has mercy. He chose us to be his people, not because of what we do or because we earned it, but it's based on his plan, his purpose, and his mercy. Next slide. Romans 8. It says, Romans 5, verse 6 to 8. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this.
While we are still sinners, Christ died for us. Next slide. God wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. So choose him, because he already chose you through Jesus dying on the cross. And he chose you, not because you earned it, but it's because of his purpose, his love, and his mercy. Amen? Next slide. As we close out, we are without an excuse. We are out without an excuse. I was supposed to preach on Romans chapter 10. I can't. It's too much. I don't have the time, but I'm going to summarize it. Next slide. Next slide. In Romans chapter 10, go back. Romans chapter 10, verse 1 to 4, here's the summary. Paul talks about how the Israelites were unable to accept God's righteousness because they were more focused on establishing their own righteousness. In Romans chapter 10, verse 5 to 13, it talks about the righteousness that comes from faith, that comes to fruition when a person decides to make Jesus Lord of their life. How did the Israelites respond to this? How did the Israelites respond to a righteousness that comes by faith, to a righteousness that comes from making Jesus Lord? Let's go to the next slide. Next slide, please. If we can. In Romans chapter 10, verse 16 to 18. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Verse 17, one of my favorite scriptures. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. But I ask, did they not hear? Of course they did. Their voice has gone out to all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. Next slide. You have to make a choice today. Choose Jesus. Choose to really make him Lord of your life. Trust God's plan. Trust his purpose. Put your faith in his attributes and who he is. And make Jesus Lord of your life now and forever. Amen. Thank you.